generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. So good, so good, yeah. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
Baptist Church. Our morning announcements as follows. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Classes begin at 5:30 in person and Zoom. May announcements, May 10th. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. May 13th, this Wednesday, Spring Corporate Prayer Service at 5:30 p.m. Doors open at 5 o'clock. and prayer begins at 5:30. May 17th, Union Missionary Baptist Church, 134th Church Anniversary. Guest speaker will be Reverend Dr. Jerry L. Wilson, pastor of Salem Baptist Church, Champaign, Illinois. Please invite your family and friends to come and join us in this celebration. May 20th, men's choir rehearsal, and men's choir rehearsal at 12:30, excuse me. And then May 31st, the men will be singing during morning worship service. Come one, come all, you're invited. Vacation Bible School, June 15th to June 19th, 2026, from 5:30 to 7:15 p.m. here at the church. Registration forms are available in the lobby and are located in the form tab on the church website at umbc.org. Forms may be submitted electronically from the website, or paper copies can be given to a Sunday school teacher. In order to assist us in preparing for the week, we ask that each and every person planning to attend complete a form by today. Classes for all ages. Any questions, please see Sister Cynthia Johnson at cynthiaj54@icloud.com. Then we have a card. With all our thanks, we want you to know that we are grateful for your kind, considerate way, and we thank you for being so special. Yeah. It means more than we ever could say. Pastor Williams and UMBC Church family, thank you for joining us to celebrate and honor my mother for her 85th birthday.
Amen. Amen.
I praise God for each of you and how you have welcomed my mother into your hearts, just as you did for me almost 14 years ago. With heartfelt appreciation, Sister Renee Thompson and Mother Thompson. Then we have a thank you card from Mother Thompson. With heartfelt gratitude and love, I thank God for each and every one of you. Your kindness, prayers, presence, and expression of love are truly a blessing to me. May the Lord richly bless you, keep you, and pour his favor upon your lives just as you have poured into mine. Love, Mother Thompson. That concludes our morning announcements. Now I'll turn you over to the hands of the pulpit. Thank you and God bless you.
Let's church say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord again, isn't it?
Yes.
As the pastor say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because he's that kind of God. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Or blessed Mother's Day. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord again. If you mind, if you would stand for the Lord's Prayer. Reading. Comes from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Let us read it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. While you're yet standing, let us do our scripture, Matthew 22:37-40. If you're not able to stand, we understand. Let us read. Jesus, King James Version says what? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Only these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love us. Amen. And let me see. Y'all kind of excuse me this morning. My head is kind
Praise the Lord, saints. We come to encourage you this morning. If you're going through something this morning, don't worry about it. Put your trust in the Lord, because the Lord will make a way.
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, let's put those hands together. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Anybody got a hallelujah? Say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's all right today. He's all right. He's worthy, not of some of our praise, but of all our praise. Amen. 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 I'm just glad that the Lord put me on the wake-up list today. Amen. 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 I'm glad I'm on that list. Amen. Amen. Let's say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. God bless you. Thank you for whooping us. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you mothers. We love you. We appreciate you. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for you. At this time, we're going to be moving on. We're going to have Mother Thompson just a little bit later. Some words. And a little bit later. And then right now, we're going to prepare for offering. Amen. Amen. Let us prepare for offering to give unto our God. Why do we give? Because he's worthy. Amen. Giving is a part of worship. Amen. Amen. Bible says in Luke chapter 6, 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured you. Amen. Amen. So we need to remind ourselves that giving and offering is a part of worship. Amen. 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 We lift up God with our tithes. That's a tenth. And our offering, anything above and beyond that. We ask if you please stand at this time. Follow the ushers. Face the inside out. Walk toward me. Amen. Then face the outside out and walk back to your row. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you that you've just allowed us the opportunity to share what you have already given and given to us and bless. We ask that you just bless this offering from the building up the kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Today for our prayers on this morning. For those who are able to stand, I ask that you will stand with me as a petition of God's throne of mercy. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, we come before your presence today to say thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We want to say thank you, Lord God, for your continual presence with us on today. We want to thank you, Lord God, that those who will celebrate this happy Mother's Day will celebrate it with you, oh God. We thank you for the mothers represented in this place today, Lord God. We thank you for the strength that you've given them, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for the remembrances of all the different days, the good days and the bad days, Lord God. But we know that motherhood carries both of them with us, Lord God. So we pray that you would just bless them in their remembrance, Lord God, and help them reflect on how you helped them to make it over, Father God. Oh God, and we know that Mother's Day comes with a range of emotions right now, Lord God. So we pray, dear Lord, that you will be a blessing unto those and a comfort to those who are grieving the loss of their mothers, Lord God. We pray, dear Lord, that you will just minister unto them in a special way, Lord God. And Father, that you will just be with them, Lord God. We also pray for those, dear Lord, who may have strained relationships with their mother today, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we pray that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord God, as you bring to their remembrance all of the ones who stood in the gap, dear Lord, to teach them about the strength of womanhood, to help them to make it unto this day, oh Lord. We thank you for that. For we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And God, we say thank you. Father God, we thank you for those who have traveled to be with us on today, Lord God. I thank you for my family member who's come to be with us, Lord God. Thank you that allowed her to make it safely. And we thank you for all of those who have traveled just to be with their loved ones on today, Lord God. Thank you for your mercy. Father God, we pray for our blessing on our pastor today, Lord God, Dr. U.D. Williams. We pray that you will just be with him, that you will continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, and continue to fill his heart with love for your people, Lord God. Give him strength, Lord God, and build him up that he might be the man that you've called him to be, Lord God. And we pray, Father God, for your blessing on this household on today, Lord God. We pray, dear Father, for Natalie, dear Father, for all the children and the family, Lord God, that you will just continue to be with them, Lord God, and watch over them, dear Lord, each and every day as they hold up the pastor's arms, Lord God. Father God, we pray for those who are in the sick rooms on today, Lord God. Somebody wasn't able to make it to come out today, Lord God. So we pray that you will be with them, Lord God, and according to your mighty will, that you will let your blessings flow upon them, Lord God, to bring healing and comfort in their bodies, dear Lord, in their time of need. Father God, we pray, dear Lord, for those who are strained in their relationships right now as well, Lord God. We pray that there may be peace and unity by your Holy Spirit. Father God, touch in a mighty way, Lord God. And we pray for this kingdom, dear Lord, that you called us to. Lord, there are many things going on in the world right now that bring sadness to our heart, Lord God. There's many things that we see and we hear on the news, dear Lord, that brings a little bit of anxiety, Lord God. But dear Father, you admonished us and you challenged us to be anxious for nothing, that cast all of our cares on you, Lord God. So even from my anxiety, I call upon you right now, Lord God, to handle it, Lord God. Have your way, touch in a mighty way, Lord God, that we might know you. We pray that you will raise up those, dear Father, who would know the right things to say, who would have the right influence in this time, that your voice may speak loudest, Lord God. We thank you for that. And Lord God, I pray for your special blessing on those who have come into this body of believers today who may not have made a profession of faith right now. We pray that something is said, that something is done that may touch their heart, dear Lord, to make them curious about you and wanting to know you and taste you for themselves, Lord God. Move according to your will. Oh God, there are many other prayer requests are on the hearts of your people today, Lord God. And you know, Lord God, that they are well beyond my understanding in my voice, but they're not beyond yours, oh God. So Father God, we pray that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would deliver according to your mighty power. Father, it's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we pray. And it's in his name we sing. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now turn the pulpit over to our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. At this time, we're going to prepare. Mother Thompson's going to come forth. You can stay there, Mother, or you can come down. Whatever you go do, we will accommodate for that. Amen. As you prepare to give words on today for Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. Doesn't she look good at 85 years young? Amen. My wife gonna get on me. Is that canary yellow? I'm colorblind. Is that? Am I right? She's shaking her head. Amen. Amen. I tried. Amen. Amen.
Visitors, and I just want to give God all praise and honor for allowing me to see 85 years and two more years of Mother's Day in this church. And I thank you for all the love and compassion you have poured out on me. I thank you for a godly pastor and wife. And now I'd like to share these few words with you. Mother, the gift of love. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny compared to what lies within us. What lies within us? What lies within us? Love lies within us. Love, yes, love. God's love. God's love. That's love. God's love. And the reflection of God's love comes from our parents, especially one dearest mother who is the replacement of the Blessed Mother. Mary love and her love for her son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, along with Mother Mary's love for us. Yes, for us. We are God's children. We are his children. Because of a mother nurturing love, a child is filled with joy, happiness, peace, and the fulfillment of true love and the abiding love from and of God. Also with love of God for God from human beings. A mother love is like a bouquet of flowers, and flowers are God's love made visible. Children are the flowers when they bloom. They provide the beauty of the world. A child enriches one's sense of sanity, smell, touch, and the feeling of love, happiness, and contentment. The love of a mother and child together help them to face challenges of life and conquer them with love and support of each other while looking forward to one eternal life, yes, eternal life, and the next world, heaven. Yes, this type of love is coming from a mother's love, which is as inspiring, beautiful, forgiving, giving, glowing, healing, and lasting, but maybe also demanding or needed, especially when going through certain health issues, like the process of aging, old age, or need of assistance with health care. Yes, we know that all human beings may face the condition in life one day. That is why it is important for parents and child to hold each other in the highest esteem in one's heart, a heart of love, love bounded between God's parent and child. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the love of Mother's Day, please bless all mothers today and every day. Bless them for their love, devotion, and service for and to you. Bless them for bringing children into the world. Bless them for their endless love, commitment, devotion, and service to church, family, and community. In ending, Heavenly Father, thank you for your complete, endless love for all mothers and having my deceased mother and all deceased mother in to enjoy the beauty and blessing and glory of heaven with thee, with love and prayer. And thanks, a very, very blessed Mother's Day to all. So happy Mother's Day. God bless you.
Amen. We ask all the men right now, if you please stand and give a hand clap to all the mothers. Amen. All the men, will you please stand and give a hand clap to all the mothers. Amen. Amen. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, mothers. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for all of our mothers on today. Just want to remind each and every one of us that this coming Wednesday at 5:30 is our corporate prayer. With the love of God, Jesus in my heart, I'm requesting that all leaders please come. Represent your ministry. If you're not able to make it at 5:30, please send someone from your ministry in the place to represent your ministry. That's this Wednesday, May 13th at 5:30 here in the sanctuary. Our corporate prayer for all of our members. Amen. All those who are here for our corporate prayer, we're requesting and asking you to come for our corporate prayer. Amen. Amen. We do one a quarter. Please take time out to pray together. We pray at home and pray at other places. It's good for the church to come together as a church body and pray together. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, be so kind to turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. As we prepare our hearts, just a couple of words. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. As you turn to Joshua 2, oh Jesus,
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the
of Joshua. You able to stand? Can you please stand with me? Joshua chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Be reading through verse 11. Verse 8, King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, King James Version. If you have it, amen. Amen, amen. It says in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, we'll be reading through verse 11. It says this, my brother, says this, my sister. And before they were laid down, talking about Rahab, she came up unto them upon the roof. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. This is the key verse. Watch this, my brother. Watch this, my sister. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Give me a few minutes today. I just want to talk. It's about the God you believe in. It's about the God you believe in. You may be seated. I want to talk about Joshua chapter 2, and we are introduced to a wonderful person by the name of Rahab. Her occupation in the city is a prostitute, and she is there, and God uses her as a person to protect the spies that Joshua sends to the land, to the city, to be able to see what they need to do in order to accomplish what God has called them to do. Brothers and sisters, as we sit here today and as you listen to me, I want to share with you that there's a calling on each and every one of our lives. Just as simple as it is just to share what Jesus Christ has done for you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the simple thing that you can say is, Jesus saved me. That's a whole lot right there. Simply saying that Jesus the Christ saved me. And because he has saved you, you ought to tell everybody about your newfound status with the Lord, that Jesus the Christ saved your soul. As I look at Joshua chapter 2, and I look in here, I see that true faith in God has the power to transform and change our fears into confidence and our doubts into declaration of God's greatness. As we look at Rahab and we look at what she was able to do on behalf of God's people, we need to look at our faith, our trusting in God, knowing who God is, that true faith in God has the power to transform our fears into confidence and our doubts into declarations of God's greatness. Is there something today that you're a little nervous about? Maybe you've gone through some life situations. There's some boundaries, some things that have been set before you. But I want to let you know the true and living God, if you have faith in our God, God has the power to change your fear, your worries into confidence, your doubts into greatness. Even if it's he woke me up this morning. Even if it's he started me on my way. Even if it's it had not been for the Lord on my side. That's great right there, because many did not make the wake-up call this morning. Somebody is anxious about something. Somebody has been depressed and worried. But can I tell you about my God? If you believe in God and the power of my God, he can transform your worries into confidence and your doubts into greatness. Imagine a moment in your life when you faced seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Perhaps it was financial, perhaps it was a health crisis, perhaps it was family issues, perhaps you just were struggling just to struggle. If you just look at what's going on in your life, all the struggles and things that you have, God can turn it into a praise. In the face of fear, in the face of anxiety, what sustains you in your struggle? What gave you the courage to face your problems? Nobody but God. If you look at who your God is, y'all know it's all right to talk to me this morning. Let's practice it. Amen. Let's practice again. Amen, preacher. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right to give God the praise. It's all right to talk to me this morning. Amen. 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 And as we look at this text in Joshua chapter 2, we encounter Sister Rahab. And she's a Canaanite woman living in Jericho. And the Israelites are poised and
commissioned by God to conquer Jericho, to conquer this land, and spies are sent to assess and check out the city upon God's command through Joshua. When these spies arrive, Rahab recognizes the power of the God of Israel and boldly declares her faith despite the risk involved. Because as you read there, chapter 2, the king was looking, where are these men who came to the city? Her statement in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, reveals not only her belief, but also her realization of the fear that grips the hearts of those who are around us, simply because God's people are coming to town. Help me, somebody. Do you know that God has power? God has the ability to turn things in your favor? God has the ability, because he has a reputation of turning things around. Let's look at this. Let's explore some things. In Hebrews 31, 11 chapter, verse 31, in Hebrews, it said that by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She did what God had asked her to do. Isaiah says this about fear. Fear not, Isaiah 41 and 10, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand. It's all about the God you believe in, brothers and sisters. God has the ability to turn things around. What I'm trying to say is, look at what God has done. And I've even said, won't he do it? He's already fixed it. God has a reputation of just blessing his people. And people hear about the blessings that God has done. And because of God's reputation, somebody listen good to me now. Because of God's reputation and his power that has a strong reputation, that will change people's behavior and thought process. Maybe not about their lives, but about your life. Some folk will leave you alone simply because they know that you're God's child. Have you ever just had a strong prayer life and you prayed to God? Folk will know that prayer changes things. And they'll leave you alone just because they know you got an active prayer life. And you may reach that prayer line, amen, of somebody they messing with. Help me, somebody. God has a reputation of taking care of his own. So if you don't have God, I suggest that you get and put God on your side. Here, as I look at this text, Joshua chapter 2, the first thing I see in this verse 11, it says, as soon as we had heard these things, Rahab said, our hearts did melt. Fear came upon. Neither did remain more courage. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. That's what I'm sharing today. It's about the God you believe in. It wasn't the spies. It was because the God of the spies. I shout if I got to shout by myself. It's some of us, we think it's because of us that walls have been torn down. It's because of us that doors have been opened. It's because of us that we can have some food on the table. It's because of us we've had some breakthroughs. But can I tell you the truth? It's not about you. It's about the God that you believe in. God is the one who has blessed you. And it's his reputation that has made a way. Rahab's insight, she said, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Can I say it this way? He's God everywhere. Rahab revealed her understanding of God's supreme authority over all creations. And everywhere, God is in control. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, our God is in heavens and he does all that he pleases. God does what he wants to do. Oh, but get in trouble there. Did you hear what I said? God does what he wants to do. He don't do what you want him to do. He does what he wants to do. Can I ask you a question? Can God do what he won't do in your life? Or you're saying amen, but when it comes, will you step aside and watch God work and do what he wants to do in your life? He wants to transform you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Are you willing to step aside and allow it not to be about you, but to be about the God you believe in? God's sovereignty refers to his supreme. God is sovereign. And it talks about his supreme and absolute authority and rule over all creation. He is history. God is the story of history. It's his story. Human affairs, what God has done in the past. He's a sovereign God. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Sovereignty harmonizes with God's attributes. He's omniscient, meaning that God knows everything. Can I tell you about your God? It's about the God you believe in. The God you believe in, he knows everything. Yes, I'm saying that God is a know-it-all. He actually knows it all. There's not one thing that God does not know. How can I stand in faith before you and tell you that? It's because he is the creator of heaven and earth. He created everything, so he knows everything personally. Also, he's immutable, meaning God does not change. You may have some friends to change. Somebody may say something to you that changes, but the God we serve does not change. Even the days change. The months change. The times change. Be honest. Look at your hair. It changes. Look at them teeth. They change. Look at that waistline. It changes. But God, the God we serve, he does not. He does not change. So when we confront our fears, we must recognize that God is supreme and sovereign over every situation, not just the stuff you want to be worked out, some stuff that you want to face and God to bring you through. He's able to do that, but he's sovereign over all. Our faith must acknowledge that it's not about us, but it's about the God we believe in. Our faith must acknowledge that God is not just a part of our lives, but he is our life. God is not on our chores list, but he is the chore. He is the priority. He's everything we need. Can I remind you of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? I know somebody know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and what? He shall direct your path. But I want to talk to somebody today. We know that. We say that. But are you really trusting? Are you really leaning on God? Because I lean on my God and I can laugh when ain't nothing funny. Yeah, I can cry when ain't nothing to cry about. I have a shout and a praise when there's nobody doing anything. You know why? Because I'm trusting in God. And he is making the way and directing the path. Somebody up in here worried, nothing to worry about. Better do what the Bible tells you to do. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. I know what your problem is. You don't like waiting. Well, you're going to have to wait this time. You're going to have to wait on the Lord and trust the Lord and watch what he does, because it's not about you. It's about the God you serve. Look at this, though. Can I park that just for a few seconds? Proverbs 3, 5, 6 instructs us to fully trust God. Not just trust God when it's convenient, not make a request when it's convenient. He's not our favorite restaurant where it just passes our mind on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we go by there and we make an order. He's God every day, every second, And Proverbs 3:5 puts us in our place that we must fully trust God 24/7, every day. Rely on God's wisdom. Rely on his power rather than our own limited understanding. Got to acknowledge God. Say, God, what do you think? God, which direction am I going? God, give me guidance. And can I stand here today? He's able. He's able to lead you. He's able to guide you. He's that light in the midst of the darkness. It emphasizes when we say trust in the Lord that we can really trust God completely and avoid self-reliance. Submit all of our actions, all of our thoughts unto God. That's what trusting in the Lord means. Why? Because when it's not about us, but it's about the God we believe in, we have to trust or lean on our God. Consider the story about Daniel. Somebody know that? Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel 6. Somebody read that at least a couple months ago, maybe a couple years? Despite the threat of death, Daniel's faith in God's sovereignty gave him the courage to continue praying in spite of the danger on his life. And his faith resulted in God's miraculous protection. I don't know about you, but when I think about it, it's kind of hard to sleep good in a den full of lions. But when you're trusting in God, when you know who your God is, you realize it's not about you. It's not about the den, and it's definitely not about the lions. It's about the God that you serve. And your God is able to protect you and keep you and allow you to sleep real good, even in the midst of a den full of lions. As Daniel, God is able, because it's not about you, it's about the God you serve. Next thing that I see in this text is that faith transforms your fear into courage. All of us have some anxiety and reservations and fear about something. You can't tell me that every now and then you don't feel like taking a back and stepping away from some things. But can I encourage you that when you believe in your God, that fear and the reservations and things that you have will change into courage. Rahab's heart melted. That's what the Bible says. But instead of succumbing to the fear that she had, she acted decisively. She made a choice. She hid the spies and sought their protection. And she did what she had to do to protect God's plan. Why? Because she knew what God was able to do and what God was going to do. She was going to be a part of what God was going to do. She knew that God was going to come. God's people was going to come and conquer the land. So she didn't resist. She didn't fight. She did what she could to help God's plan move forward. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of sound mind." Another version says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." God gives us a spirit that in spite of the threats, in spite of things that face us, our fear and our worries can be transformed by our faith into courage. Not from "I think I can," but "I know I can." Why? Because faith is a renewing. I'm getting happy now. Faith is a renewing force. Every day we need to be encouraged. Every day we need to be refreshed, especially our mind. Paul writes in Romans 12:2 that believers are to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. The renewal is not just intellectual. It's not just reading books. It's not just reading the Sunday school commentary. It's actually putting this thing into action. It's spiritual. Your faith must align with what you're reading and what you know. That's what it says is in Romans 12:2. And when we're talking about transforming your fear into courage by faith, faith renews you. When you feel like giving up, you're not going to give up because you know who your God is. It's not about the threats. It's not about the resistance. It's not about folk being against you. It's not about this or that. It's about the God you believe in. So then when you transform, how do you transform? By the renewing of your thought process, knowing that it's all about God. It's not about you, but about how God is going to use you and use your situation. When you do this, it enables you to discern what is righteous, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul declares that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what I'm saying is that if you want your faith to transform your fear into courage, you have to know something, my brother. You have to know something, my sister, that if you be in Christ, you are a new creature. All things have passed away. There's a refreshing. Your identity changes. No longer are you out there by yourself, but you are God's child. You have an identity. You are a believer's identity. And life is reshaped by your faith. Anybody said you didn't feel like getting up this morning, but you got up anyhow? Didn't feel like dealing with certain situations or people? You dealt with it anyhow. Why? Because faith fuels a renewing force that shapes us every day. Just when we think we're going to give up, that faith keeps us going in our God. Not only if I have faith that transformed my fear into courage, I need to understand that faith is a renewing force. I need to also understand that faith transforms or changes my character. I become a new person in Christ. Faith in Christ produces fruit in spirit. The fruits of the spirit come out in your life when you trust God, because trusting God is a spiritual exercise, and the spiritual exercise can't help but produce spiritual things. When you do things aligned with God's spirit, it produces spiritual things in your life. Can I tell you some things that doing spiritual things and trusting in God does? It produces love in your life. Produces joy, God's love. Agape, God's joy, God's peace, God's patience, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's gentleness, God's self-control. Godly things, the fruit, it changes your character. Spiritual. This is not moral transformation. This is a heart transplant. Because anybody could give somebody a dollar on the road. Anybody can help somebody with a flat tire. Anybody can give them some food that they really don't want. Anybody can do nice things. But when you've been changed by the Spirit of God, your faith will change your character. When people aren't looking, you're doing the right thing. Now, faith transforms your fear into courage. So then I have to understand that faith is a renewing, refreshing, restoring force. And then I looked at that if I have faith, it transforms who I am to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then you know by faith that your change actually has purpose. I'm going somewhere there. There's a reason why God has to change you, but you have to have that faith in order to see the purpose as to why he's changing you. Scripture becomes a roadmap for the purpose when faith changes us or reorientates us with the believer's mission. Your mission is no longer to satisfy what you want, but your mission changes to glorify God. Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God has changed us to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. Faith turns us into what God wants us to be. And he does this by calling us into spiritual action and aligning our lives with God's kingdom purpose. So no longer is it about us. No longer is it about what we want. But it's about what God wants. And I've discovered I'm happy. When God's the boss. When God fixes everything. Because Psalm 23 lets me know that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores. But the one is, he prepares that table. So when I have faith and it transforms my purpose, I understand that my purpose is to fulfill and glorify God and do God's mission. So then when God is in control, everything is already prepared. In our lives, faith can transform our fears into courage. We often allow our fears to become the boss. We often allow our fears and our reservations and the things we are uncomfortable with to be our boss and even paralyze our joy, paralyze our love. But can I tell you something today? That faith can ignite your praise. Faith can ignite your worship. Faith can ignite your following God. Faith can move mountains. No longer do you allow your reservations to paralyze what God is doing in your life. Allow God to change your fear into courage. Spiritual boldness is what I'm talking about. Oh, faith can transform our fear into courage. Remember Peter walking on the water, Matthew 14? You remember that? That's an example of that. He said, if it be you. He said, I ain't volunteering to walk out on the water, but if it be you, Lord, you allow me to come. And as long, you know the story, if you don't, look it up there in Matthew 14. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was all right. But the moment his faith slipped, that's when he physically slipped. Faith keeps us walking and doing what we need to do. So faith transforms us and sustains us. The last thing is that faith leads to bold declarations. Bold declarations. Outsiders are going to look at you and say it can't be done. Outsiders are going to look at you and say you don't deserve this. Outsiders are going to have negative thoughts. You to this, you to that. But it's not about them. It's about the God you believe in. Rahab declared, and her declaration not only reveals her faith, but also serves as a testimony to the spies of Israelites that victory is coming. They weren't in the midst of victory. They was in the process of victory. See, that teaches us something too, is that Joshua gave instruction to the spies to go check out the Jericho, go check out the land. The victory was already promised, but they were in the process of victory. There's some things they had to check out and do before they actually get the victory. Is many times we need to understand that impatience is a ministry killer. Impatience is a faith killer. Impatience is a love killer. If you don't wait on the Lord, it can kill your faith. If you don't wait on the Lord, it can kill your joy. The victory was already there, but the spies were a part of the process. And Rahab understood that there was a process that God was going to complete with or without her. And Rahab declared that she wanted to be a part of this. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You are saved if you confess that Jesus is the Lord. There's a process of maturing and spiritual maturity that goes on. But you will, when it's your time, you will be transitioned into what God wants you to be transitioned in. You're not going to be able to pray like somebody else pray all the time. You're not going to be able to shout or sing. But you sing your song. You pray your prayer. You do what God has gifted you to do. If you can't sing, then don't sing. But my Bible said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't need a key to make a joyful noise. Somebody make a joyful noise right now. Say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe just say, hey, make a joyful noise. That's all the Lord asks is a joyful noise. Talk about my singing if you want to, but I know that there's a robe waiting for me. And there's a choir up there in heaven. And I'm going to sing till I just can't sing no more. Our faith should lead us boldly to declare who God is in our lives. Oh, I'm ready now. Our faith should get us to boldly declare who God is in our lives. Our faith should cause us to boldly declare who God is in our lives and testify to others about the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Rahab, for standing up for God's people. Thank you, Rahab, that when God's people came through your house, you took care of them, simply because you know that God was in the midst of conquering the land and fulfilling his promises. Consider the early church, Acts 4:20, where Peter and John could not help but speak about what they had seen and heard. Their declaration of faith had a profound impact on the early believers and the world around them. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs to hear your experience with God. Not your experience about what you've done, but somebody needs to hear what God has done for you. We talk about a lot of stuff. Talk about your God. Talk about how he's made a way. How he's making a way. How he's going to make a way. Talk about how he made a way. Talk about how he's making a way. How he's going to make a way. Talk about your God. How he made a way. How he's making a way. How he's going to make a way. I'll shout it all by myself. God made a way for me. I was sin sick. I was heading toward hell, but God made a way. His name is Jesus the Christ. His name is Mary's baby. He made a way. And I thank him for making a way for me. His name is Messiah. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. Is there anybody here that he made a way for you? Call on his name. Jesus, he made a way for your soul. He made a way for your mind. He made a way for your wake up this morning. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be breathing right now. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He made a way. I'm glad that he made a way. But can I tell you something? He's making a way right now. He made a way, but he's making a way. Is there anybody up in here? Up in here that needs a way made? You got some stuff going on. Got some people messing with you. Got some stuff going on. But tell God thank you, because I know you're making a way right now. You've done it before, but you're making a way. You made a way, but you're making a way. He's parting Red Seas for you right now. He's opening doors for you right now. He's taking care of your enemies right now. He's making a way. Well, you can sit there if you want to, but my Bible said let everything. My Bible said let everything. Let everything. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Is there anybody in here breathing? You ought to inhale. You ought to exhale. You ought to inhale. You ought to exhale. Breathe it in and breathe it out. And say, thank you. I have breath. I'm going to praise you because you made a way. You're making a way. But I know you're going to make a way. There's some stuff that we still have to go through. And I'm so glad that Jesus came down from heaven. And he became flesh for you and me. And he died for you and for me. They hung him there on Calvary's cross. Pierced him in the side. And they put some crowns on him. But I'm so glad that he allowed himself to die for you and for me. He was placed in the tomb. And he was dead there in the tomb. But early Sunday morning, by the power of God, he knew that I would need a Savior standing on my behalf, standing on your back when you reach the gate to get into heaven. He's made a way, he's making a way, and he's going to make a way. Jesus is going to shake your hand and say, servant, servant, well, he's made a way by the resurrection power of God. He's made a way. He's made a way. He's made a way. And I'm glad about it, that it tells me who God is in this passage, that he is a way maker. And he has a reputation of changing things and getting what he wants. So can I tell you that God will never leave you or forsake you. But if you are a disciple, there's some things you got to give up. You got to give up pride, my brother. You got to give up pride, my sister. You got to give up self. It's not about you. Everywhere you go, it's not about you, sister. It's not about you, brother. It's about God. If you're a true disciple, didn't he say in Luke, he said, you got to give it all up, forsake yourself. If you're going to be a disciple, there's some things you got to let go. It's not about what you hear. It's not about what you see. It's not about what you can say. It doesn't matter about your degrees. What it matters is who your God is. And if you're going to be a true disciple, you have to let some things go. Jealousy. Somebody said something to you and did something to you. Well, they did something to Jesus and he died for them anyway. In fact, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't say I ain't there yet. Get there. Forgive those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Because if you're a disciple, there's some things that you just let go. Because you got to let go of all, forsake all, and follow Jesus. Luke 14. You look at it. It's a cost. It's a cost of discipleship. You got to let self go. Get rid of self. And allow God to come on in to your life. Because God's will is not only for you to be saved, but you to live a life of salvation. Walk in him and trust in him. So brothers and sisters, that's what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you for your time. It's about the God you believe in. Just that simple. He's a moving God. He's a powerful God. He's all-knowing God. That's the God you serve. We have experienced how faith recognizes who God is. Transform your fear into courage and lead a life by the leading of the Holy Spirit and have a declaration that God is going to do what God is going to do. Rahab's story is not just about her, but it's about the God she believed in. Your story is not just about you, but it's about the God you believe in. You have to believe in Jesus as your Savior. You have to trust him. And I'm going to get in trouble, and I love getting in trouble, but you have to live it. You have to live it. You can't just say, I believe it and not live it. You have to live the Christian life. Forsake all. That's what true disciples do. Forsake all and follow Jesus. Let that pride go, that jealousy go. Let it go. And say, God, I give you my life through Jesus. Will you please stand? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? On today, have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We offer Christ unto you. We offer the Son of God. We offer Mary's baby who died on Calvary's cross. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You do not have a church home. You would like this to be your church home. You can raise your hand or you can come down. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Forsake all and follow Jesus. Is there one? Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Is there one on today? Is there one, my brother? Is there one without church home you would like to come? Is there one on today? The invitation is to you. You may come, my brother. You may come, my sister. Is there one?
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Is there one?
Just now. Just now, he will save you.
Is there one?
He will save you.
Is there one?
He will save you. Just now, only trust him.
Is there one on today?
Is there one?
Give your heart to Jesus. If you'd like to connect with this body of believers.
Only trust him. Just
just none.
Amen. We see there's none, but still there's room in the kingdom. Amen. We want to say Happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers. And remember on today, it's about the God you believe in. It's not about us, but it's about the God you believe in. And He has a reputation that He will stifle your enemies. And He will set up help and assistance and resources for you. Heavenly Father, we say thank you. We give glory unto your name. Thank you for blessing the mothers and their ministry unto us. Lord, we thank you for your life that you have given through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen. Amen. Go with God. Go in peace. Again, Happy Mother's Day.